sing page two in the chorus is, if the Lord says I'm a blessing. Yes. Key of G.
Amen. You know, it's good to be here. I could wait, but why? You know, I'm thankful. And I was just telling Jim out there, don't wait. Don't wait. You'll miss it. You'll miss the boat. You know, God moves fast. Holy Spirit moves fast today. If you don't step out on it, you just miss it. Sometimes you don't even realize you miss it so fast. But you know, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to know who I am. I'm thankful to know that I am free. And if you're free, you know what I'm talking about. No burden on me, no Satan on me, no condemnation on me. Nothing between me and my Savior. Nothing between me and my body change. Just a very thin veil. And I'm thankful that I can see through that veil. I'm thankful I know what's on the other side. I'm thankful I know what's waiting. You know, the saints, they died. They didn't really know what's on the other side. They thought, like Brother Branham, you know, maybe it's a vapor, maybe it's, you know. But it's real. It's as real as here. It's real just like here. Just no sin. No unbelief. No devil. No spirit that gives you a hard time. But you know what? The Spirit don't give me a hard time much anymore. I really don't have that much trouble anymore. I'm on top of this thing. I know who I am. Finally got on top of the devil. And I ain't letting him get back up anymore. I ain't letting him up.
Don't let him up.
You know, and you got to keep him under. You know, because he'll try to get up. He's sneaky. He's a slicker, Brother Branham said. He'll do his best to try to get on top again. But he'll never do it with this bride. This bride knows who she is. She's on her feet. Not just us. The whole bride is on her feet. The whole bride is right here. Just another dimension. Not even 20 foot away anymore. They're right here. They're on their feet. They've got the intelligence. We're not waiting. Well, when we get with them, they'll have the intelligence. They got the intelligence now. They're complete, perfect. He brought them with him in 63. Now, that's meant a lot to me here lately. Some of these scriptures, some of these quotes I heard in the past, they're fitting together a little bit different. He brought them with him. The shout, the voice, and the trump happened at his coming 60 years ago. I'm not waiting on nothing, devil. Devil, you're not even in my picture anymore. You know, I like saying that. I like saying a lot of things to the devil. And I don't even talk to him much. But when I talk to him, I'm pretty straight. You know, me and Brother Jim talking about working out there. Talking about having some fight in you. This bride's got some fight. You know, we don't lay over. This whole world is teaching more and more every day to just lay down. Trying to get Israel to stop fighting. Just stop fighting. The only thing that the Pope has said is he wants to fight to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the priestly thing to say, I suppose. But they won't do it. Israel's got fight in her. Israel's got some real fight in her. And you know, this bride's got more fight in her because we know what Israel's about to find out. They'll get the same revelation that we get. The thunders to or the thunder, the trumpets to them is the seals to us. It's the same revelation. It's just knowing. It's just seeing him himself. It's just him himself. It's the same thing we had in 63 coming. They'll come to that same understanding, same revelation. And when you get on, when they come and join us over at the supper, they'll know what we're crowing about. We just found out. We've known it for a while. But thank God for revelation. Thank God for something so true and so real and so worth giving everything to. You know, I got a $100 bill in my pocket. I've had it for a couple of weeks. And I was thinking all the way over here, said, you know, that thing is worthless unless I use it for something. You might have all the revelation in the world. And if you're sitting here, you do. You do have all that revelation. But if you don't use it, if you don't whip the devil with it, you know, I've said before, I'll say it again, I can whip the devil with half my revelation tied behind my back. He's nothing. Amen. Like Brother Childers always said, like putting your pants on. It's nothing. It's nothing. If you stay on top of this, if you look at this thing right, the devil's not even a threat. And I'm thankful for that. I'm on top of it. I'm top of the food chain. It's just real to me. And I don't mind telling everybody about it. You know, and it gets more real every single day of my life. And I can say that for a fact. You know, that's coming just for me. That's not because somebody else heard it, heard somebody else say it. It's not because I'm, you know, I don't say things because other people say things. I say things if it's real to me. If it's not real to me, I don't say it. You know, Brother Branham said, the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. And this bride has, thus saith the Lord. When you get up and say something, don't worry about what you say.
Don't worry about it.
What do you think is going to come out of you? You're full of the Word of God. What do you think is going to come out of you?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for it. Amen.
Amen. It's been a whole week since I told, at least a whole week since I told the devil what I thought about it. It's a whole week since I came and lifted my voice and do what I really love. I walk through this world. I do the things that are in this world, but this is not the real, that out there is not the real me.
It's not my home.
It's been a whole week unless I confessed my healing, which God is faithful. I count him faithful, that promise, just like Abraham. And I thank God for being here tonight. Like you said, don't worry about what you're going to say. Go ahead and jump in the pool and just see what's going to happen. So, amen. Now, I'm going to go, if I may, I'm going to go over here and get on the organ. Can I do that? He was getting ready to sing a song. Okay, sorry. Okay, is my time up? He's saying my time is up. Well, I just want to come and stake my claim as a believer, an overcomer. I was thinking about when I was on vacation. You know, there were people in my old church. They had me figured out wrong. They didn't think I was going to make it. They said, she's this, she's that, she's other. Yeah. And I overcame every bit of that. They said I ran off. I was a scandal. I ran off with that man over there. They talked about me again. And I overcame that. Then when I came here, there were people that thought, oh, well, she ain't going to make it. All my, like Jesus said to the lady that that they drug out, he said, woman, where are thine accusers? Yeah. They're gone. I'm still here.
Amen. 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 Amen.
The Lord says I'm a blessing.
If the Lord says I'm a blessing, then I am. If the Lord says I'm something, then I am. If the Lord says I am more than a conqueror in this world, if the Lord says I am, then I am.
The Lord says I'm righteous.
Yeah. than I am.
Because the word says
that's
I am.
Right. Right.
I'm a blessing. I'm a bride waiting for her bridegroom.
Amen.
I am so glad that I have something that I can put my stake, my claim on. This is not all there is. There's something I'm looking forward to. And I know it's beyond that veil. I know I'm going to see my lover. He is going to just wrap me in his loving arms.
Amen.
And I thank God for a solid promise. I thank God that I'm so excited about coming to this church, coming to the Word. I am the Word.
Amen.
So I get to represent Christ. I'm an ambassador, if you did not know. I represent Christ when I go outside those doors. And I'm proud to represent Christ. I'm an overcomer. I can kick Satan. I don't have to be under him. I can be on top. And I'm glad that I know who I am. It's a blessing.
Amen.
I can just, when the cars and I was coming to church, and I just feel spirit sometimes. I'm like, Lord, I hate these cars and all this traffic. And I can just rest and say, Lord, it's okay, Belinda.
Amen.
God's got that too.
Amen.
He can just speak that peace. And you just, it's just wonderful that you know you can go into a room and you can keep those spirits at bay. I have something greater than those spirits.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it a
You're
wonderful
right.
life when you know what you know when you apply it.
Amen.
Sister Clarice, you can sing your song after him if you want.
Go ahead, Brother Warren.
Yeah. Thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. I know what I know. You know, talking about that peace, you know, the devil used to trample me.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the old days, the old days. You know?
Yeah.
I'd be up and I'd be down, I'd be up and I'd be down, and then I'd be out. But, you know, even when I was out, I knew this was the truth.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I held on to, and I'd come back. I'd come crawling back, and I'd be okay, and I'd be up and down. I wasn't settled. But the whole time, I knew this was right. That's what this, you know, this was my anchor. I knew it even when I was out there. This was right. I could not deny this. Even out there, this was the truth. I thank God now. I'm back. I'm settled. You know, and I'm just basking in his glory. And I'm just hearing the word. I'm taking it in. I'm getting stronger. You know, if you looked at me a year ago compared to what I am now, boy, that I tell you what, I've come leaps and bounds. I thank God my revelation just keeps getting stronger and stronger and brighter and brighter. We're gonna just march ourselves right on out of here. You know, at one time, it's got to take hold. You know, you hear it, but it's got to be something that's almost tangible that you can say, you know what, I see it.
Right.
I see that.
It's real.
And, you know, it's like Sarah.
Yes.
Abraham preached to her for 25 years. Somewhere along the line, she started to get, you know. Yeah, she started. And next thing you know, she got, you know, they both got their body changed. And that's how I feel. I progressed and progressed. And this thing is so real. I have peace.
Yes,
no matter what the circumstances, come hell, high water.
Amen.
You know, whatever the devil throws at me, it's not going to move me.
No,
I am so settled and anchored in here. I know where to come.
Yeah.
When these doors open, oh, man, I run to this place.
Yes.
You know, and I think about it. When I got up this morning, well, Monday morning, I was thinking, well, I'm looking forward to Wednesday. And then Tuesday morning came, oh, tomorrow's church night, but I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
This morning, you know, I knew I had to get up and go to work, but I'm thinking, you know what, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about what I was going to hear tonight.
Amen.
You know, just making it back one more time.
Yes.
And just being in the presence of God and with my family.
Amen.
And I'm just thinking, God, I nobody could be me but me.
That's
you
right.
know, God had to put a warrant here.
That's right.
You know, with my unique makeup, I'm here. I'm part of the body, and I add my little bit to the mix. And I just thank God because this is just too real for me to just sit down on God. Amen.
No up, no down, a constant. You know who you are. No matter what it looks like, no matter what you think, he's going to get this done. I remember a great man that we first come to the church years ago. He gave me a song that was Born Again, Free from Sin. I am happy night and day. I've messed it up, but you know, it's a late hour, and like Brother Branham said in his ministry, he said, I'm at the evening time of my ministry, and like my prophet, I'm at the evening time of my ministry. You don't like to think about it, but you know, I'm in my 60s. I could have 5 years, I could have 10 years, I could have 1 year. So when I come, anything that I know how to do, I'm going to put it in. You may not get another chance. You may not get another chance.
Right.
I don't take it for granted. And you know, if you don't claim it, it's not yours.
That's right.
So I said, I gave my testimony. I claimed my healing.
Amen.
No matter how long it took, he didn't. 25 years is a long time to wait. I don't want to wait 25 years.
Right.
But he's faithful to promise.
Yes.
If I don't believe what he said, I'm totally wasting my time.
Right.
We're all wasting our time. God is God. He either is or he ain't. I'm going to shut up.
I just wanted to get on record and be identified with this message, with this body, this wonderful group of believers. You know, I'm just so full. Because I see that word made flesh.
Yeah.
You know, it's so clear to me. It's been made so plain. It's undeniable.
That's right.
I know who I am. And I wanted to, you know, I was thinking about today, I was thinking about, like, you know, they that are alive and remain.
Yes.
And, you know, somebody said, you know, that remaineth in this word. And
right.
It took me to a scripture that I had read, like, years ago. Man. And, I wanted to share it, and it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to start here at verse 7. He says, but if the ministration, oh no, it's at 9, sorry. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory,
amen.
much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away with, and you know, when I read that which is done away with,
right.
That which was in part,
right.
And you know, because you can't just get a new birth off a part word. You only can get a new birth off this full word. And it wasn't even available until this hour. And just to know these things, you know, it's a revelation. And I read this and I was just like, so blessed, man. And, you know, I started thinking about just the little things, like, you know, he woke me up this morning to be able to serve, to just be a servant, you know, go out there and just let him shine through me. It's such an easy ride. I'm like, really, I'm going downhill, but I'm swimming uphill, you know, upstream. It's just, yeah, that double life, you know, that was preached before. You know, I really, you know, I'm a normal guy, but I'm like, you know, Clark Kent and Superman, you know. But the thing about it is just, it's just so real.
Amen.
You know, it's just that real to me, and I'm just so grateful. God bless you.
Amen. That's Sister Jennifer.
I'm going to stake my claim again. And when I reach out to God, he reaches back, and I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
He talks to me, and we have a relationship, and he can get me through anything. That's precious to me.
Yes, it is.
Not everybody gets that. Got to hold on to that, and that's what's going to get me through.
Amen.
He can fix, give me peace. He can... Yes. Fix whatever. I'm so grateful, and I want to give him all because it's a love relationship.
Yes, it is.
And I don't want to just say words and just, but he talks to me, and so that's what keeps me going.
Amen.
That's just thankful. Thank
you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sing page 145 in the course, Sanctuary. It's Kia G. Don't forget the announcements. Sunday after church, this Sunday, is Thanksgiving dinner after service. Then we got Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah visiting San Diego Church December 1st through the 4th. So, those things in mind. It's Kia G.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to get to your house tonight, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for everything you do for us, watching over us, keeping us. Lord, just making it safe here one more time to hear you speak to us and talk to us. And we ask that you have your way tonight. Thank you for the singing and the testimonies, Lord, as we've already started to hear from you. And have your way with the rest of the service. Lord, we bring notes. You tell us to study to show ourselves approved, Lord, but at the end of the day, you use this Bible the way you want to use it. Use these notes the way you want to use them, if you use them at all. Use this body and vessel the way you want. Speak to us. Answer our questions. Talk to us tonight, Lord. And Lord, brighten it up one more time for us, Lord, that we walk out of here tonight, whether we're on our way to heaven or whether we're on our way home, rejoicing with what you've done for us. And Lord, we ask that you continue to be with the body. Lord, I see Sister Christy's not here. We ask that you continue to bless her body and strengthen her and help her family and her father. And I see many a mask here tonight. Lord, we ask that you touch the sickness, Lord, and bring recovery to our bodies. Touch Sister Dawn, Lord, and Brother James. And Lord, Sister Moore's talking about her healing. Lord, you said by your stripes we're healed, and we're claiming that and standing on your word. Help me, Lord. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Talk to me tonight. Give me what I need. Have your way. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back tonight. To see everybody, good to have Pastor Moore home, and Sister Moore, and Sister Val. Glad you got to have a good time, and we're glad you're back. You know, part of the body is gone. You know, I think it's good to be noticed that you're gone. That means we expect you to be here. If we don't notice you're gone, that's a bad sign. And I want to be noticed when I'm not here. Where's Jeremiah? That's what I want you to be asking when I'm not here. that's not normal for him not to be here. You know, I look back there and I know Brother Locke is not here, and I know that's not normal for Brother Locke not to be here, right? I know that. And so keep him in your prayers and bless him. And remember the announcements. Looking forward to Sunday's fellowship. And don't forget, you know, we're going to not have Sunday night service as well, because we're just going to fellowship around Thanksgiving meal and take our time there and enjoy each other's company. And then we won't have Sunday evening. So keep that in mind as well. But been enjoying the services and everything God does for us. Join the testimonies. It's good to see a body of believers enthused about what we have. Amen. It's not just a made-up thing. It's not just a put-on thing. Like Brother Deskins was saying, you know, this thing's real. And if it wasn't real to me, I wouldn't talk about it like I do. And that, I agree with that. I don't want to just be an echo or a parrot in that sense. I don't want to just repeat after somebody else. I want to have it for myself. I want to be like Jesus. When he was talking to him, even at a young age, he confounded him. Amen. And said, this guy speaks like one having authority. Amen. And you know, what makes you be able to speak with authority, truthfully, a real authority, is you have a revelation. Amen. That's what brings it. You know who you are. You know what you're talking about. You know what God sent you to do. Then you step out on it, and you take a little bit of authority with what you're saying, because you know what you're sent to do.
Yes.
See, that's what Joshua did when he crossed the other side. He said, son, stand still. And the reason why he could do that so confidently is he knew what he was sent over there to do. He said, I got work to do. I was told this land's mine. I was told nothing's going to stand in my way. And if that sun doesn't stand still, I'm going to have a little issue. And so it's going to have to, I don't know what God's going to have to do. I don't know what physics is going to have to work. But that sun's got to stand still. Now that gets me excited, because people would tell me I can't change this body. Physics would tell you that's not going to happen.
that that's not possible. But they don't understand what I've been sent to do. I'm in an hour where this body's going to change. And it's the hour that we're in. And so I don't care how many proofs the devil throw at me, how much science digs and say what's possible or not. I don't care how deep they try to go to say there's a God or not a God. They have nothing to do with what I'm sent to do. Amen. I'm here for a reason, and I speak with authority because I know what my job is.
Amen.
So it's good to know that and to be able to speak like that, because what I'm tasked to do, and when I say that, as a man, I can't make a single thing happen.
That's right.
I always like to say that, because if you're not careful, the devil will have you at home trying to study this rapture up and meditate this rapture and pray until your body changes. I don't care how good you live, how many times you read your Bible, how many prayers you say, and all those things have their place. But you trying to force the rapture to happen, it's not going to happen 1 second faster than it's supposed to happen. The quickening power that's quickened anything else to you in your life, that's quickened every other revelation, that's quickened any healing, that's quickened that quickened Abraham and Sarah's body back in the day, it'll take that same quickening power, that same God, that same Holy Spirit to quicken these mortal bodies and change them to into what they need to be. But here's what I also know. He does move by the word. What he quickens is his word. And so there will be a group of people here that will have revelation, and they will be speaking the truth of the hour. They will be saying it's time to get out of here, and it will get quickened. They'll have a revelation, and it will happen just like that. Oh, that's exciting. It'd just be like any other revelation. Because Brother Branham said the rapture is a revelation. And so we got to stand on that. And we do stand on that. Because, you know, what we're talking about is a body that's 2,000 years old. And as far as their bodies go, that's been in a grave for some of them 2,000 years, a long time. I know that they're, in a spiritual sense, they're awake. But the body, that natural body, it's been in a grave for nearly 2,000 years since Paul's age, at least. And so that's a long time. And ever since I've been alive in my 43 years, I've never seen somebody that's been 2,000 years in the grave get up. I've seen somebody die and get resurrect from the dead. But I've not seen a 2,000-year-old body get up. And it's not a normal scientific thing to think is going to happen. But the Word of God says it's going to happen. And I just believe it. It's that real to me. Because everything else God's ever said has happened. And why would I doubt Him now? So, it's good to be back and enjoy the messages. And you know, at Germany, when Brother Moore preached last, and then I missed one of Brother James's messages. And typically when I miss these messages, I listen to them in order. And I mean, I would tell you 99 out of 99 times I listen to them in order. And so on the way back, though, for some reason I just thought, you know, I'm going to go back, and James is probably going to be here preaching, so I want to see what he preached on Wednesday, so I can be a little bit closer to what I'm going to hear probably on Sunday. And so that's what I did, you know. And you know, as a preacher, you're always trying to say, "What, Lord, what do you want, you know, for the next service?" And so James preaches Sunday morning. I close, and I preach a little bit behind him. And then Sunday night, you guys did me wrong. You didn't say a lot, so I end up having to preach a little bit again. And I thought, "Lord, you're going to have to help me, because what else do you want?" And of course, God laid something on my heart. And what's funny about it, I like to tell you this sometimes, because, you know, just show you the human side of this. When he laid it in my heart, I thought, nah, Lord, are you sure that's what you want? Because, you know, we've talked about that plenty of times. We don't need to go through that again. I was wrestling with that angel, because I thought, Lord, you got to give me peace about this. So Monday morning, I start playing Brother Moore's service, and it's going good. And I didn't get through all of it Monday, because I drive to work listening. And so Monday night, I'm still sitting there a little bit wrestling with the angel, so to speak. Lord, is this really what you want? Tuesday morning, last 10 minutes of Brother Moore's message, he basically said my title. And I thought,
We got her now. So we got the devil cornered now. And so, you know, if you don't like what I preach tonight, blame management. Is all I'm going to tell you. But it's in the Word of God. And, you know, we say that and we laugh about it and we should be able to have a good time. On a serious note, I also know this. If it's in the Word of God, we can preach it. Because we believe the Word. And we love the Word. And, you know, what I love about the Word is it runs. Because, you know, I'm gonna read a scripture here in a moment. And you know, Brother Branham had some things to say about it. And, and why I'm saying this is, you can read this Bible, and you can read a scripture, and to you it may sound one way. And you can think it sounds that way, but the prophet actually will describe the scripture a different way than you even think it sounds.
Amen. Right.
And just because it sounds one way, it's not that your intent is wrong or your spirit is altogether wrong. It'll sound like something else Brother Moore preached, so you'll take the scripture and bam, that's what it's got to mean. But that's not what that line meant. And that's why it's important. It's not to scare us. You know, we're not going to hell because we misinterpreted scripture, but I'm just saying it's important to understand how God interpreted that scripture to us. And that's one of the reasons why God sent us the prophet, so that he could tell us what these scriptures mean. And he could interpret this thing to us. And so, and why I bring it up, because what I'm going to read is, there's a lot of people with a lot of thoughts on this. And it wasn't that I even had a bad thought, but I thought, you got to know what the prophet said about it, or you'll get it all mixed up.
Amen.
So enough of that. Let's get going. Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Okay. Amen.
And I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
Amen.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and of rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. May God add the blessings to the reading of his word. My title tonight is The End Time. And I'm excited to be in the end time. And you know, I want to say one thing too, because I was thinking about people that listen in sometimes, is, you know, when you talk about the end of time on something, you got to know what you're talking about. Because, you know, when it came to Jeremiah, the end of time to me was when I got a new birth. I could call that the end of time. And, you know, the end of time to the church ages, as far as the bride was concerned, was 1963. Because Brother Branham said the seventh age is over. We've entered into the eighth day. And you're right when you say that's the end time. But I say this because on one side of the coin, time will be fully over altogether when we get to a new heaven and new earth.
That's right.
Because when we go through the millennium, there's still time element here. The devil's still around. And there's a piece of the devil that's still got to be destroyed.
Right.
But when I'm talking about the end time tonight, I'm talking about the time we're living in, and talking about the time where people will be wiped off the face of the earth, and we're going to come back and live on this thing in the millennium. That's what I mean by the end time tonight. Because the seventh seal, you know, is the end of time to all things, Brother Branham said. So you can talk about the end time in many different ways. It just depends what you're talking about. But this is the end time. This is actually a time in the space of man that's coming, what people have talked about, where this face of the earth is going to be wiped off. And that's not to start there and scare you. I just want to point out what time I'm talking about.
Right.
But I wanted to talk about this because at this end time, there's many things happening right now that are lined up perfectly with the Bible.
Yes. Amen.
I want to talk about the bride a little bit. Because if you're at the end time, the bride should be somewhere. And that's really the most important one for you and I in that sense. Because we're the bride. You know, you said it Sunday night, Brother James, that fifth coming Elijah, though I know who it is, it don't matter that much to me. Because I'm not even going to be here when the fifth coming Elijah comes. So I'm not too worried about it. I know about it because what it does, it tells me what time I'm living in. But I want to know about the bride because that's who I am. But as we've been talking here lately, and Brother Moore's been talking, I want to talk about a few other things. I want to talk about the Jews a little bit. Because the Jews mean something. Because they're God's timepiece. There's something about them that you should know that would tell you what time you're at. And I'm not claiming I'm going to list everything we should be watching, but the Catholic Church. I want to talk about it a little bit. I want to talk about the world and California sinking a little bit. There's certain things going on, and what's so exciting to me about them is they're all lining up. They're all getting to where they need to be. They're all pointing to the same thing, that this is the end time, that it's time to get out of here. And that's even why I'm going to talk about the other ones. Not so much that they apply to me, but they let me know in just another proof that I really am at the end time and that it's time to get out of here. So bear with me a little bit because I'm going to read a few scriptures tonight. Because I thought about the Jews when I get to them. I thought, we don't talk about them too much. You know, if you're not been in the message long, most Christian denominations don't love the Jews because they crucified Christ. So there's a misunderstanding there. So we'll get to that, but I don't want to jump ahead. Turn with me to Zechariah, the 14th chapter. That's in the Old Testament. Right before the Malachi, the last chapter, the last book in the Old Testament. Now, what I was going to say about Matthew 24, just to go back and say this, is I think it's verses roughly 2 through 9, Brother Branham connects to the seals. You know, the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, the fourth and fifth. I think the sixth he covers later. But the church world don't have a clue about that. And I'm just saying, I'm thanking God we have a prophet that's come and been able to take those scriptures and showed us how to connect them to the end time. Because I can read those things, and after the prophet came and preached the seals connect them to the seals, and see every one of those things has actually happened in the order that they were supposed to happen. So it's quite neat. But I wanted to read the scripture because what the disciples were asking about, when is the end coming?
Amen.
Well, it's here.
Amen.
We're here now. So Zechariah, the 14th chapter, verse 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Now, evening time is another way to describe the end time. Because, you know, you said it, Sister Moore, I even was reading this quote this week, Brother Branham said, I'm at the end of my ministry. I'm in the evening time of my ministry. And a natural day, when you get to evening time, you're at the end of your day. And so this is the evening time, bride. And for the bride, there is total light. Brother Moore preached on that here lately. In the dark hour, we're sitting in Goshen, applied the token.
Amen.
The token didn't come till any time. We have total light. What does that mean? We have a clear, full word understanding.
Amen.
Despite what anybody else might know, we actually know God, know what He's doing, know what He wants done.
Amen.
We're living in peace.
Amen.
I was listening to the testimonies tonight. I thought, man, we speak with like people that have peace,
right.
Rest, we're steady, we're stable,
We're sound. We speak with authority. We put the devil in his place. We're not afraid to let the devil know who we are. We claim things that don't look like they could be as though they are. And we don't apologize for it because we know that the word has been opened to us. We have full light. I mean, we come in here and say, I'm at peace. It let hell and high water come, and I'm still okay. And then Brother Desmond come in here and almost make you not want to think the devil's even in existence anymore. Like he wants to rebuke him so much. Why? Because he has a full word at Revelation. The bride knows who she is. You know what? You may not understand every scripture. You may not have the messengers memorized. When I say seven thunders, you may not be able to describe it to me. But the fact that you have got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that he has given you a revelation, that he has given you a clear understanding, that means you got a new birth. That means you're connected as part of the bride of Jesus Christ. You're ready. You're on your feet. You're part of a living, moving, breathing bride of Jesus Christ. And one side of it, he's already come down and married us. And on the other side, we're the ones that are going. He's coming to get to take him back with, right. Take us back with him.
That's right.
We're in light. We're ready to go. Yeah. We're just right. You know, like you said, Brother Moore, this is the end of the ripening season.
Yeah.
Like, let's even say this is the end of the evening time.
Right.
Like this ain't the start of the evening time. This ain't the start of ripening. We're at the end of the end.
Yeah.
Hey, Brother Bram, you say 3 minutes to midnight. It's got to be at least one or half a minute to midnight now. We ain't got much longer.
Yeah.
And what's so great about it, who else can talk like that and think like that? Only a group of people that has full light from God.
Amen.
But in order, connect us to the end time, in order to be at the end time, that means the bride has to be formed. She has to be built. That was part of what you're preaching. She's had to mature. She's had to come through the process. You couldn't come too early. But for it to be the end time like we're saying it is, it means the seven church ages have occurred. The capstones come down. The bride knows who she is. She's seen her name in the book. If that's not true, it's not the end time. But we know it's true. Why? Because we're the ones that are the representation, up, awake, speaking as the entire bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother Bram said, the Holy Spirit had been bound by denominations for 2,000 years. Now what he was trying to say, the Holy Spirit was working in every age, but all it had to work with was the word that was available in that age. You know, if all Luther had was the just shall live by faith, that Holy Spirit wrote out on that, quickened that, dealt with everybody on that. The Holy Spirit was working. But in Luther's age, he wasn't working on sanctification. But you know, in the age we live in, there's no limitation to where God can go in the scripture for us and quicken his word to us because we are at the end time with the book open.
Amen.
You know, we have preached about this so many years. But it gets brighter when you see where you're standing.
Amen.
We've arrived. And we have arrived for a long time. But sometimes, lately, the way Brother Moore made the rapture so real to me, I really feel like I've arrived, is what I'm trying to say. The bride is he preached the bride standing on her feet.
Amen.
You know, she's not a part bride, she's a complete bride.
Amen.
Amen. We're not waiting. You know, and I don't want to forget what that last scripture said. The gospel had to be preached around the entire world.
Amen.
Now think about that. It was.
Amen.
Brother Brett, Paul started out in the East. But where did it go next? To Martin Luther, Germany.
Yeah.
It moved a little west.
Yeah.
And then where did it go after that? England, the Wesley.
Right.
Further west. And then where did it happen at Pentecost? I'm over to the United States, further west. But where did he go in 1963? All the way to the western side of the United States. This gospel has traveled around the world. And Jesus said once it had done that, the end has come. We are at the end times. The gospels went around the world. We went through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We built a body.
Amen.
Capstones come down.
Yes.
Brother Deskins, we know who we are.
Amen.
I enjoy when Brother Deskins testifies.
Amen.
He speaks like a bride that knows who he is.
Yes.
He's even sitting here saying, it's getting brighter to me.
Right.
It's getting shinier to me. I know more who I am. That's what we have.
Yeah.
It's the end time, and yet here we are at peace. The devil's around us. We get nervous. I like to balance it sometimes, because if I say we're at peace, I don't want you to go home and think, oh, I can't worry about nothing. I don't have peace, so what's wrong with me? I'm talking about in general, overall speaking. We're not like the world. I'm not trying to save the world. I'm not worried about it's going to end, and I don't know what to do, and I got to protect the environment, because if I don't, the world's going to end. It's got to end.
Right.
I know that.
It has to
end. It's got to be cleaned off. It's got to be wiped off.
Yeah.
But I know before we even get to that point, he's coming for me and taking me home with him.
Amen.
That's peace. I'm not talking about you worrying about your bill tomorrow, even though God can get you through that too. But I'm talking about a little deeper than that. I'm talking about a peace where there is no condemnation. No matter what the devil tries to apply to you, you can look at him and say, get behind me, Satan. I've seen my name in the book. I know who I am. No matter how bad the world gets, you can look at it and say, this too shall pass. And it can't be the Great Tribulation yet, because I won't be here during the Great Tribulation. That's real peace. Thank God for that. Thank God for full light. Thank God we can see the body's been formed. Thank God we even know it's a bride. Because they didn't even know what they were doing. But here at the end time, we can look all the way back and say, God's been working on that for 2,000 years. This is what he's wanted. Do you realize God wanted a Gentile bride for always?
Amen.
And I'm going to say that because we're going to talk about the Jews in a little bit. But God wanted us. His original people were Jews. But that wasn't going to be who his bride was. The bride was going to come from a Gentile people. That's you and me. And thank God that he made a way for us to come in. Because we didn't even care about God. We served multiple gods. We didn't even know there was such thing as God. But God, through his amazing grace, through Jesus Christ, come down and made a way and turned his eyes to the Gentiles and has dealt with the Gentiles for 2,000 years. And the dispensation of Gentiles is pretty much over. I could say it's over if you look at it in 1963, but we're still here. So there's a little bit left. But it's at the end of it, people. But thank God he dealt with us Gentiles and come down and redeemed. He's redeemed. Everybody's going to be there. But thank God for a redemption story that he made a way for you and me. So in order to be at the end time, the gospel had to be preached around the world. And that's happened, Brother Moore. That's history now. In order for it to be the end time, we had to go through justification, sanctification, restoration of the gifts. We did it, people. In order for us to be at the end time, we had to go take the seed in. Because unless this corn of wheat falls in the ground, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. That's happened. That's history. We've done. Well, I am going to read tonight. I like to say it a lot, but I'm going to read it. Because it's a good one to have in your back pocket.
Amen.
I'm going to read it. Brother Moore, I'm going to read it. Brother and sister, I don't know in my Bible of any other thing God promised to do before the rapture of the church.
Amen.
I don't. You're thinking of a mark of the beast coming. I told you they've done got it. The next thing left is for the rapture of the church. It could come at any time and not disrupt any scripture in the Bible. As far as I know it, God knows that's true. Yes, sure. The time is at hand. It's later than we think. That's the summary of it. We're here. The rapture couldn't come before the bride was ready. But the bride made herself ready, and he's married us, and we're on our way out of here. Thank God you know and we know who we are.
Amen.
So the bride's in her rightful position.
Yeah.
And as far as you're concerned, that's the one set all you need to worry about. Get a new birth. You must be born again. As I go into a few of these other things, they're just for benefits for you to realize how much is really happening, showing you where we're at. But as far as you personally and God dealing with you and getting you out of here, you're part of the bride. That's all you need. You believe there's a prophet and need that prophet talk to you. You got it. If you understand nothing else I say tonight, thank God you're part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're the ones he's coming back for. You're the ones that are ready. Amen. You're the one that's got oil in your lamps. You're not trying to go find oil. The bridegroom calls come. You're going to hear it. You have her. You're going to hear it. You're ready. You're ready to go. You don't give your oil to nobody else. Get it for yourself first. Then apply the token. But don't worry about anybody else. Get this thing for yourself first. Amen. Let God worry about the rest of the details. Right. He's the one that said he wouldn't lose any of his anyhow. Right. You hold him accountable to that. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes. And God will take care of you too. Amen. But, and don't worry about anybody else. God will take care of them. Because right. He hasn't lost one of his. So thank God we know who we are. All right. Now, I want to move on because I ain't got time to stay in places too long. I want to talk about the Jews a little bit. And, you know, I'll try to bring a few scriptures and quotes in just for witnesses. But I know this church, when I'm talking to this church, you guys just believe what we say. The prophet said it. And if I was to say it, Rumbo Moore, get up and tell you. But I'm not going to say anything I brought a prophet didn't say anyhow. But with that said, you know, I want to talk about Jews because we all know, if we know the Bible at all, you go back to that Old Testament, there was a nation called Israel that was created, or whatever word you want to use, you know, produced by God. And just to give you a little Old Testament history, Jacob, that we talk about at times, name got changed to Israel. And from Israel was multiple sons. And those sons created what we call the tribes of Israel. Now, I'm not going to name you all 12, but I'm going to give you two names, Joseph and Benjamin. But the point I want to make first is God loved Israel. It was his nation. It's who he promised things to. As a matter of fact, he promised, as we say, the promised land to him. This land flowing with milk and honey, it belongs to you. It's his people. And it's really a chosen people. And just so you know, because I'm going to talk about a different group, but the Old Testament saints, the Moses, the Elijahs, the Davids, Daniels, they're going to be in heaven with us. So that group of people is already taken care of. But I'm going to talk about another group. But point being, God loved Israel, and it was a chosen group of people, and he was with them everywhere they went. Amen. He's protected them, he's taken care of them, and really, he still does it today. Amen. At least for true Israel. Right. And we know the story. Go to Joshua, go to Genesis, go to Exodus. God promised them a land.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
And that's what Canaan's land was all about. They went over there and fought for it. That land belongs to them, and that's where they're at today.
Amen.
That nation of Israel is sitting right there, and it's why today they're so bold in defending it. Because a real Jew, a real Israelite, knows that that land was promised to them by God.
That's right.
Now, I want to read Romans 11th chapter. Jump down to verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, that reading that tonight even gets me a little bit more excited. Because it says until. The fullness of the Gentiles till the end time, because that's where we're getting ready to get to. But here's why I want to read that is
we get mad at Israel because we know Jesus come and they're guilty of crucifying him. And you know the people crucifying, they'll pay the price. But I'm here to tell you, God was in it all. In the sense that he knew that they would do it. And blindness was given to him in part because he wanted a Gentile bride that we just talked about. So God blinded Israel for yours and my sake. Thank God that he made a way for you and me. You remember that the cross that Brother Moore talked about and the crossed hands? That was a type that crossed the hands going from the firstborn Israel to the secondborn the Gentiles. Thank God he did that. Thank God he made a way for you and me. But here's the thing that excites me. He's not forgot about Israel. He's going back to Israel. He still cares about Israel. He just ain't going to them until he's done with us. He promised them a week, Brother Moore. I can't read all these scriptures, but you're exactly right. He promised them a week in Daniel 9. We'll talk about it in a minute. But real quick, he said, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. People, we are at the fullness of time. We're about to get out of here. God's about to turn back to Israel. So let's talk about that a little bit. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel prophesied 70 weeks. And that's why Brother Branham said, matter of fact, I had a quote where he said, it's one of the most important scriptures in the Bible. Because with those Daniel 70 weeks, you can tell time in the Bible. I'm not going to go through all that tonight, save time, but essentially what's happened is 69 and a half of those 70 weeks has happened. And another time, another place, if you have a question, ask one of those on Sunday night, we can go through that for you. But 69 and a half of those 70 weeks have happened. There's a half a week left, Brother Moore. 3.5 and a week. 1 week is 7 years. So with a half a week left, there's 3.5 years left to deal with Israel. Amen. That's how the math works out, just so you know. Don't got time to get through all that. But that's why you can trace that scripture. You can trace the events that happened. You can see there's only 3.5 years left. That God's going to deal with them still. There's still 3.5 years left that God promised Israel that he would deal with them. That must tie to what he said here. Until the fullness of the Gentiles come. Now I'm going to read one more place. I promise I'm trying to minimize the scriptures. Revelation's 11th chapter. Same time, end time. Thank you for reminding me, Brother Moore. This is all tied to the end time, people. This is all setting up. These are the things that are supposed to be happening, getting set up for, because this is at the end time. Revelation 11, verse 1, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread on foot 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years, by the way. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth, devoured their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. We can go on a little bit further. It talks about them laying in the streets 3.5 days. That's where Brother Moore always says, how are people going to see them laying in the streets 3.5 days? It's easy now to see things that happen around the world. Now, I want to say a few things here, because I've got to make some points. 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Prophecy. That's what you hear us talking about, those two witnesses, Elijah and Moses. Who shut the heavens so it didn't rain? Elijah. Who turned the water into blood? Moses. Those two prophets are coming back. You know who they're going to be preaching to? Israel. Revelation 7 chapter talks about 144,000. 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. 12 times 12 is 144. 144,000 Israelites will be saved. Jehovah's Witnesses don't think they're even in that group and don't know how to explain that. That's a separate group than the Gentile bride.
Amen.
We're already raptured. Amen. We're at the end time. Evening shall be light. But right here at the end time, the Romans 11 said, when the Gentiles' days are over, I'm turning back to the Jews.
Right.
That's what these two witnesses do. They preach to Israel.
Yeah.
And so, where does Israel have to be, though? They have to be in their land. They have to be. That's what God promised them. That's where he told them he'd meet them. That's where he would deal with them. Don't. And I like to say it because you see the end time. You see these things, how they're working together. That's why Brother Moore's been talking about it. People are rushing home. No doubt some of them true Israelites. Real believers. Part of the 144,000. If they're all the way there, they're very close to getting there. Because all I know, when we get out of here, God's turning directly to the Jews because they're his people. And he has 3.5 more years to deal with them. And he's got a group of people he's coming after.
Amen.
That's right. And so it excites me to see what's going on. People surrounding Israel's land. They don't like them, attacking them. And I know that God's promised to save 144,000. Well, that, like Brother Moore says, they can't destroy that land until those 144,000 are saved.
Amen.
And it's getting pretty tight over there.
Right.
It's looking like at any moment they could destroy that land.
Right.
But God can't let that happen until he's dealt with them for 3.5 more years.
Amen.
And if this pressure's all happening, it is another thing that shows you we're at the end time, people. The bride's ready. She's getting ready to get taken off the face of the earth. And God's turning to the Jews. And you can even look at what's going on around you right now and seeing that it's getting set up.
Yes, you can
see it clearly.
Yes.
Now in Genesis, the 45th chapter, talks about Joseph. Now, throw this in for a little bit because this always excited me. You can read this in church age, but Brother Branham talks a lot about it. Talks about Joseph was a perfect type of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you know the story of Joseph, Joseph was not loved by his brothers. Sold him. Betrayed him. Brother Branham said, that's like the Sadducees and Pharisees. Jesus wasn't loved by his brothers either. They threw him in the pit, took his coat back, put red on it, tells dad that he got killed. Sold into slavery. But you know, the thing about Joseph, he was spiritual. He was in prison for a little while. There's two guys there. One's a baker, one's a butler. I think the butler got saved. The other one didn't. What happened at the cross, Brother Branham said, Jesus saved one, the other wasn't saved. And then what happened is Joseph was so spiritual and was interpreting dreams and things, the Pharaoh brought him all the way up to his right-hand man. Sounds like Christ to me. He's God's right-hand man, so to speak. I know he's God, but you got to put these things in the right place, in their types. Well, Joseph, being that he was sold away from his family, he ended up in Egypt. And you know what type of wife he married? A Gentile wife. He didn't marry an Israelite. He married a Gentile wife, brother Isaiah, while he was away from his family.
Yes, amen.
That sounds like Jesus to me. He's married a Gentile wife while he was away from the Jews.
Amen.
But eventually there was a famine in the land, and Jacob got nervous and said, I heard Egypt's got some food for stored away.
Right.
So he sent I think 11 of the 12 or 10 of the 11 left. And so go see what this is about. And Genesis 45 tells that story a little bit. And Joseph sees him and he eventually reveals himself to him. But he wasn't happy because he knew there was one missing. And the one that Jacob hadn't sent was Benjamin. Now here's the interesting thing. Benjamin had the same dad and mom as Joseph. Both Rachel and Jacob. All the other brothers had Jacob as their father. But they had different mothers than Joseph. So the one that meant the most to Joseph was Benjamin. And he wasn't happy, his real brother. He wasn't happy just seeing his other brothers. He's like, I need to see Benjamin. And he wasn't happy. And Brother Branham said, little Benjamin is a perfect type of the 144,000. Jesus' other 10 brothers crucified him. Sold him into slavery, so to speak. Didn't like him, got rid of him. But there was still a true Israelite, little Benjamin, that he wasn't going to forget about. Said, bring me Benjamin. I want to see Benjamin.
Amen.
And that was a type of the 144,000.
Right.
Jesus is going to come back after Moses and Elijah is preached to them.
Amen.
And he's going to reveal himself to him just like Joseph did to his brothers. And say, it's okay. God did this to preserve life.
Yeah.
And they're going to see his scars and they're going to weep and wail because who did this to you? And they're not going to believe they did it. But you know what? Just like Jesus gives us amazing grace. He'll just look at them and say, come on in.
Amen.
I paid for this too.
Amen.
Oh, I want my brother Benjamin.
Right.
I want the 144,000. I throw these little nuggets in, but you see why it's so, what's going on in Israel ties to the end time?
Yeah.
They have to be in their homeland. God never forgot about Israel. He's going back to them after we get out of here. In order to go back to them, they got to be in their homeland.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they're not, if they're going to be living, they can't be destroyed. And think about what's going on. People are squeezing in on Israel. God's got to be coming soon to protect Israel. It's the end time, people.
Amen.
I thank God to be able to look around and see these things happening. Just another sign and proof in the scripture that this is the end time and it's time to go home. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu could die tomorrow. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. It's not a coincidence that the prime minister of Israel currently is Benjamin. That's why Brother Moore told you the names the other day. Who's the prime minister of Israel currently? The leader? Benjamin. There's something in name sometimes. God's trying to show us. Things are working the way they're supposed to work. Things are lining up the way they're supposed to line up. The bride's made herself ready. She's got full light. She realized the rapture's in process. She knows who she is. Israel's under attack. People are going back to their homeland. 144,000 is getting there. It's about time for Moses and Elijah to come to them. It's time to go home. It's the end time. And we can sit here in peace. Enjoy our job daily. Doing what as long as we're still here, we got a little bit of work to do. And we can do it with a smile on our face. But we can be looking around saying, at any moment, this thing can completely wrap up. So you don't want to forget about the Jews, because God's not going to forget them. Now, I ain't got time to read it all. I'll just skip it. But Brother Bram said in Church Age book, he said, who did Joseph care about? Little Benjamin. Who does Jesus care about? That 144,000. He's going to get them too. Don't worry about that. And you know what I like about that story, even though it doesn't even apply to me, is I can see God keeping his hands on that 144,000 and protecting them. Parents with parents with parents with parents that even get them here. And they can't be touched till God gets to deal with them. That just reminds me of what he's done for me.
Amen.
I couldn't be touched till God dealt with me.
Amen.
That devil never had a chance.
Amen.
I was like Moses, hidden by God. Right. Slid right under Pharaoh's nose.
Yeah.
And the devil couldn't find me until God got to deal with me. And that's what he's doing with that 144,000. Now, I want to talk about the world a little bit. Pray I get through all these. No, that's okay. We know where we are. You can look at the church world. You can look at the world. Paul prophesied there's going to come a day that they go after their own lust. They don't want nothing to do with God. Luke 17:30 says, as it was days in Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was the days of Noah, given in marriage, not in marriage, homosexuality, don't want nothing to do with God. The real problem is unbelief. All these things. You can look around the world. It's the end time. It's the time where it's time to get out of here.
Right.
It just like, you know what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah after God got done? He destroyed it.
Yes,
you know what's getting ready to happen to this earth? God's getting ready to wipe it off.
Amen.
Getting ready to destroy it. Read that scripture Sunday. Let's just talk about that. Malachi said that he's going to smite, he would have to send Elijah the prophet where he smite the earth with a curse, but he talked about burning that earth off.
Right.
Down to root.
Yeah.
I read it Sunday night. Malachi chapter 4, 1 through 6. God's going to burn this earth off.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen through atomic bombs.
Right.
Now, we're talking about the world for a minute. Let's talk about, do we have atomic bombs?
Oh, yeah.
I think we do. Do we have enough bombs to shoot at each other till it blows this whole earth off? Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And when did we ever have that? We didn't even have the start of that until the 1940s. It's the end time, people.
Yeah.
Never in the time of man have we had this type of ability and technology to destroy our own selves in such a way that we could wipe the face of the earth off. I'm going to read some more scripture, but I'm going to say every time Malachi talks about this earth getting burned down to root. Read it Sunday night. You can see the conditions are set up for that, Brother James. This is scripture being fulfilled. We talk about Russia. You know, Russia's interesting. And Steve, you reminded me Sunday night when Brother Branham was even making some of these prophecies, they were called the Soviet Union. It wasn't even Russia. But God and the prophet said, watch Russia. And you know, in 1933, Brother Branham, God gave him vision. Showed him seven things that was going to happen. And you know, those things have happened. You know, and he did see there, I think, the United States in craters and ashes, and that's coming. But in one of those visions, I think it was the third or fourth, he talked about, he saw Mussolini and fascism and all the isms, but he saw communism. He said they'd end up in communism. He said, but don't worry about communism. Watch Russia, the king of the north. You know, Daniel, just so you know, has so many prophecies about the end time. As he, in the Daniels where he talked about it's the king of the north. Well, the king of the north, the prophet told us who that was, that's Russia. And in some ways, you wouldn't even think much about Russia, because I was even reading Brother Branham said that for a while you thought they were barbarians, just living out in the cold, wouldn't know much. He said, but lo and behold, didn't they end up with the ability to make nuclear bombs? They're an atheist country, and there's a reason for that. Because if you're a country that believes in God, you're most likely going to listen to that pope and want to follow what he says. So it just makes sense to me that Russia doesn't even care about God. They won't worry about what the Pope says at all. Think about that. And so, you know, I'm not going to read a scripture to you tonight that calls the name Russia out. I can read a scripture that talks about the king of the north. I can read a scripture that says the earth's going to be burnt. It took a prophet to come and tell us how that was going to happen.
Amen.
And what he told us is that Russia was going to be used by God to avenge the blood of the saints. And they're going to fire away missiles. And that some of those missiles, not, and they won't even be the only ones that's going to destroy this whole earth. And I bring that prophecy up, Brother Branham, because you can look around and you can see the situation. We're at the end time. Vladimir Putin does his own thing today. He's still in a war that doesn't make a lick of sense to me, other than it's the end time. And it just shows you he'll do whatever he wants to do. I mean, you think about that Ukraine war, you don't even talk about much anymore. And it's going on every day, and it's just a part of their everyday life, and the world doesn't even talk about it anymore. It doesn't even make a sense. But Russia's over there, doesn't care what the rest of the world thinks, ain't worried about what you and I think. And that is showing you they're getting set up to do exactly what they need to do. The world's forgot about God, don't want nothing to do with God. We're in a Sodom and Gomorrah condition. We're in days like it was in Noah. The world's in this condition. It's the end time. That's all I keep trying to say. Russia's doing what it's supposed to do. The world's doing what it's supposed to do. Now let me read a couple things here, just to help us. I got too many quotes here. This is in 1964. Who do you say this is? Now, we find ourselves at Christmas. This is Brother Branham talking just about like they did the first Christmas, though. The world's just about to fall apart, as I preached once. The world falling apart. And the world, again, is just about to come to pieces. Look at the earthquakes over here in California. I predict before the coming of the Lord Jesus that God will sink that place. I believe that Hollywood and Los Angeles and the filthy places are there, that God Almighty will sink them. They'll go beneath the bottom of the sea, and it's so much sin, you see, it's the barrier. Now, California is just one piece of the puzzle, but I just wanted to bring that in because the prophet prophesied that California would actually sink. And, you know, that is a state, even today, that earthquakes happen, and big ones happen. And science themselves even know that San Andreas fault out there is not a great thing. If the right kind of earthquake comes, it's over. And these earthquakes get stronger and stronger. And you even look around the world, they're happening in places they shouldn't even happen. The world's in a condition, Brother James. It's the end time. And, you know, before we even had the science telling everybody that the California could sink, we had a prophet that said it's going to sink. And you know, there's been earthquakes. I think there was one this year. Was it Turkey? And it flooded and killed 10,000. It can happen, people. And California's had some strong ones that shook cities. I remember the World Series, I think in 1990. It was, the game was going on and an earthquake happened. So all I'm trying to just use these little things that Brother Branham prophesied, what the Bible says, they're all setting up. Amen. California can sink at any moment. It's the end time. The world doesn't want nothing to do with God. It's the end time. Russia's ready to avenge the blood of the saints. It's the end time. The Jews are going to their homeland. It's the end time. The bride knows who she is. It's the end time.
Amen.
And the last one I want to throw in there that deserves a message of its own in some ways is the Catholic Church. And I'm going to go through it quick. You know that, let's go over to Revelation 17 chapter. Let me at least throw a scripture up for you. I can feel a bit, feel the babies and my kids getting tired. I can even feel it, so. We'll be out of your way here shortly. It's not 9 yet. Revelation 17 chapter. Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman is always the church, by the way, was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, of the beast that carrieth her, and which hath the seven heads. The beast which thou sawest and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And I could go on, but I'm going to stop there. And I could read Revelation the 13th chapter, but I want to say this quickly. That harlot, that church, is the Catholic Church. Now that would surprise the church world to say that. Because we look at the Pope and the Catholic Church as one of the greatest churches and the leaders of the earth and the world. And you know, but even you kids, Micah and Riley, that go, and Alan and Daisy go through school, when you get to history, you're going to hear about that, the Roman Catholic Church, the Holy Roman Empire, pagan Rome, and you're going to see they actually are guilty of killing more Christians than any other group I know of in the history of man. Your history book will tell you that. But we hide that. And they do it in the name of religion. Oh, that's what's so tricky about the devil. Devil can be very religious. He can just change one little word. And that Catholic Church, if you weren't the elected, it would deceive you. It looks pretty. I told you about the church I went in Germany. It was big and beautiful. I understand why John admired it. It had money. It was pretty. You would think, if any God's with anybody, it's with that. But beauty like that doesn't prove God's with you. You got to have the word to know that God's with you. But that Catholic Church, that and there's a lot you can say about it, is the first denomination. And they organized in 325 A.D., And that organization was against God's way because God's never been an organization.
Amen.
And then they set up a pope. And what does a pope do? He tries to act like he's in place of God,
right,
forgiving sins when God's the only one that can forgive sins.
Right.
Well, they say, you thought you can forgive sins. Well, God's here.
Right.
But that's done by revelation. But that pope tries to act like he's God and makes all these decisions for God. He's the man sitting in the temple acting like he's God, even though he's not God, in Thessalonians 2. And he's so peaceful. He talks godly things. Says, stop fighting, like you said. You would think he's such a nice guy.
Right.
But he's really a false prophet because he's given us false word.
Amen.
And that Catholic Church has been wrong from the very beginning.
Yes, sir.
And the spirit of it even shows up in the Old Testament in Babylon. And that's why it says Mystery Babylon here. But the thing I just want to say is that Catholic Church, though it seems like a good church, it is that system. It's not even altogether the people. That system, that organization that's against the Word of God, it's Antichrist. Amen. That's the problem.
That's right.
And then they set one man up to lead the whole thing, and that's the Pope.
That's right.
And you read this chapter, and you read 13, it talks about this beast. And that if you don't give honor to the beast, you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. That's that Catholic Church. It's the end time. And there's coming a day where it's going to be that bad. But you notice it said those whose names weren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names are written.
Amen.
We don't follow the Catholic Church. We don't identify the Catholic Church. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. We're on our way out of here.
Amen.
But there's coming a day, actually, if you don't agree with the Catholic Church, you won't buy, sell, or trade. That Pope is going to be so evil, and that Catholic system is going to be so evil, if you don't get with them, you won't even be able to function in this world.
Amen.
That's coming, people.
Amen.
That's what's prophesied in the Bible.
Amen.
And you say, why are you bringing this up? I'm just showing you what's set up.
Right.
Who can speak today, and just about the whole world listens? The Pope.
Right.
Who speaks peace and sounds peaceful? The Pope. Who do we, almost the whole world honors. He goes into a country and they shut the whole thing down.
Right.
The Pope.
Right.
This thing set up for the end time.
Right.
For that beast to really get, you know, Brother Branham said the Antichrist spirit and the false prophet and that beast is the same spirit the whole time. Just changing the forms.
That's right.
Doing different things at different times.
Yeah.
But that same system, that same devil, that same spirit, there's coming an hour that where it looks so peaceful, it's going to raise up and be demonic.
Amen.
In front of everybody's eyes.
Yeah.
They got money. They got the gold. I said it a little bit Sunday night. That gold is going to be used to try to save this country when that stock market crashes. They're going to make a deal with the Jews. And in that same prophecy, in the midst of the week, they're going to break that covenant.
Amen.
They're going to start destroying everything that don't agree with them.
Right.
And that's all in that great tribulation period. We're going to be in the heaven.
Amen.
At the wedding supper.
Amen.
And that, but you know, I just bring that Catholic Church in because they're going to have a part in this.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're talking about the end time, you can see they're set up to do their part. They have the gold. People listen to them. People love the Pope today.
Oh, yeah.
He's more accepting than any Pope we've had. Humble. This thing's set up. And I know I've went through a lot of groups, and that's why I even try to tell you, if you don't remember them all, don't worry about it. I just want to bring these things in because it blesses me to see all these things setting up.
Yes.
All the conditions setting up. It all points to the self same thing. It's the end time.
Right.
Bride's ready. Could rapture could happen any moment. Jews are, if they're not in their homeland, they have to be nearly in their homeland. God's got to come deal with them. The Catholic Church is ready to do what she's got to do, Brother James. Russia's got the bombs it needs to have. The world doesn't care about God. California could sink at any moment. It's just a needle poking through, like you said, Brother Dustin, it's time to get out of here. When's the end coming, Jesus? Well, once the gospel went around the world, the end shall come. Well, it's went around the world. Once we got through those first four seals that was happening in church ages, we can get to the end of the world.
That
sixth seal is a judgment seal.
Yeah.
It's purging seal. It's going to happen in the tribulation period in a lot of ways. Of course, the names, I know there's a lot you can say about it, but just to show you. But this is the end time.
Amen.
And God's got a Jews he's still dealing with. And I should say, while he was dealing with the Gentiles, there's a group called Souls Under the Altar. Jews that were alive in the church ages that stayed true to their Jewish belief that God has made a way for, called Souls on the Altar. That group will be there too. So I should throw that in. But when it comes to going back to Israel and dealing with them, you can't do that until we're gone. And at any moment, that could happen. And you can see everything setting up so that it can. I hope you enjoyed. I hope it blessed you.
Amen.
Thank God we're at the end time. Welcome home, Brother Moore. God bless you. Come on.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
You can see how it all plays a part in together. And every bit of that, a lot of this is happening. It's like an orchestra. You know, they're all playing different notes or all playing different parts. But if you could see the whole symphony, the way that the bride can see it, the way that we're looking at it. And there's another group that he didn't mention tonight that goes in there too. See, all these things go in there together. You got them, but don't forget the whore's daughters. The whole Gentile church world has wound up in bundles. Bundles called Lutherans, Methodists, Pentecostals, interdenominational, outer denomination, non-denominational. All these bundles. All of this is all happening at the same time. And the whole world hasn't got a clue. And the bride is sitting up here. She's made herself ready. She's like, oh, no. Oh, I'm going to get right, church. I'm going to get the truth. I'm going to get the revelation. I'm going to find out what this is. And here we are sitting with answers to every group. Every group. That's why you know every man that you meet.
Yes.
When you meet somebody that's of the world that has no God about them at all, you recognize it. When you meet somebody that's a foolish virgin that does something for you when they don't have to, you recognize it. When you see Israel, people, Israelis who are born and moved to the United States, and then this happens, they drop their career, they drop their family, they drop their hopes, and they get on a plane and go back because it's their obligation. And those are real Jews. Those aren't just people who call themselves. I got some friends who are Jewish. And I don't think they went over to Israel. I think they're still here. I'm pretty sure they are. If I text them today, I'm sure I'll find out he's still here in the United States. And but all Israel's not Israel. Just like all the church ain't the bride. And all these groups are in this great big symphony. The Jews doing their part. You got Putin over there doing his part. I mean, he's causing a lot of this. You got to remember when Jesus was born, Pharaoh went and killed all the kids. We think this is new. When Moses was born, they killed. This is biblical. The things we're seeing are biblical. Yes. And because we are in the age of Laodicea or equal rights, we don't know how to deal with it. And it is sad. It is sad to watch the news. You know, it broke Jesus' heart when he looked at the world. And it breaks the bride's heart to look at the world and the condition. But we know it's got to be this way. The whole world's got to raise up against Israel. And they're doing it. They're doing it. Our government, our country, every country are starting to raise up because they don't believe the Bible. If they just look in the Bible, they would know that, yes, Benjamin's going to go in there. And I knew from day one when it happened on October 10th, on 7th, I was like, the first words out of his mouth is he said, when we get through with them, they're going to talk about this for generations to come. I thought, ooh, this is going to be bad. I knew that from his first words. And then when I saw our president come out of a phone call with him and say, the United States is going to stay with the Geneva Convention rules, I said, he's already told the president he's not going to regard women, children, anything. The president knew that from day one because I heard the way he answered. I told y'all, I said, that president, when he got off that phone with him, there's things getting ready to happen that our president can't even back. And now the Congress is, everybody's getting on board and thinking this is a travesty. You know, they probably thought the same thing when Rahab was standing on the wall watching a whole city go down. And it was a travesty. These are lives, these are people, but it's prophesied in the Bible that it was going to happen. But because of the age of rights, we're so soft now. We're so soft now. And now that we have TVs and we've got, you know, access, and the news people are rotten as ever. Because what they'll do is they'll try to show you shots to make your heart bleed. And all they're doing is raising up the people The media's doing this. And so they've got their role. And then so everybody's raising up against Israel and saying, Israel's awful for what they did. Israel's always done this. You said, well, they should not do that anymore. Well, there's 144,000 that has a homeland that they have to protect. And God's going to make sure that's okay. So don't get squeamish, bride. Hang in there. Don't go with the pool of the world. Yes, it's sad. No, we don't want to see it. Wish it never had happened. But it's just as much the scripture as everything else we've read. The church world's in the condition it's in. The world's in the condition they're in. Israel's in that condition. Everybody's set up. Because you know what? He didn't tell you this, but Rome's got a bomb with its name on it. That's going to come from Russia. So all these things. Now, when it happens, you know, we're not going to be able to sit here and play the, oh, let's poor Rome, poor world. The world is on its way out. And if you haven't made your peace with God, you need to do it. If you never made your step to really step into this message like you should, to know, to get a revelation of what Jeremiah just talked about tonight, you need to make up your mind. Because, you know, if you've never made that step, you need to do it. Because, and I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just saying we're wrapping this up. And it's wrapping up so fast that people aren't going to have time to react. Look how fast they went to war. Overnight. And it's like, we're at a point now, and God's boom, 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 tying these things up. And the bride has made herself ready. We're sitting here saying, Lord, we're ready. Yes. And the whole time, God's still revealing more. He is still revealing things to us. Which is amazing. It's amazing to me. But it's the hour that we're living in. So don't be dumb. Don't sit here and play church. Don't sit here and act like you, the bride. Come on. And really not. Come on. Because this is it. This is it. And the bride has made herself ready. I'm ready.
Yeah.
You're ready.
Amen.
We're ready.
That's right.
We know what it is. The things that he talked about tonight, people that couldn't even put that together, if you sent them to the greatest seminary there was.
That's right.
All these pieces come together to us because we had a prophet. That's the only reason.
Amen.
That's the only reason. We're not sitting here saying we're so smart. We just believe what the prophet brought.
That's right.
Can you explain it? Can you explain everything Jeremiah said tonight? No. Do you have to? No. Do you have to believe it? Yes. That's why Brother Branham said only believe. These things, we're wrapping this thing up so fast. And the bride's numbers are shrinking. People are leaving this message left and right. They're bailing off. They're bailing out. They're just turning their cards in, turning their books in, turning their services, and they're just falling off. So the bride is just narrowing down. The church world is narrowing down because the church don't even go to church anymore. They go Christmas and Easter and New Year's if you're lucky. But people don't go to church. But my Bible tells me to gather yourself together. That's much more. If you ain't never seen the end time till tonight, it should make you want to gather yourself together that much more. That much more as you see that day. What day? End time.
Yes, sir.
This day approaching. This thing is about wound up. You don't even have enough time to drop some of your habits.
Come on.
You don't have enough time to straighten up all these things. You need to run to the Word as fast as you can get there and believe everything you can get your hands on and say, Lord, I'm in this state right now and you see me where I'm at. And Lord, can I even do all of this? But Lord, I believe every bit of that. That's where we're at. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We're at a point now and the bride is just We're right there. No time to go. What did Brother Brown say in 1965 when he preached marriage and divorce? In 1965, Brother Brenham said, we didn't have time. He said, we don't have enough time to fix all these homes and get them. He said, if they tried to do what they really need to do, it would be a mess. So he said, go as you are. And the bride is now saying, you know what? Get into the house. Believe the word of God. Go as you are. God's got, he'll give you everything you need. You may not need 40 years of revelation. You may not need 20 years of revelation. You may not even need two. There's no time. When you come in here, do like Beth did. She wasn't playing games. She's like, no. This is a serious hour. I don't have time to. And give her a year. She's like, oh, I am so much different than I was a year ago. I mean, that's where we're at now. It's just, we're right so at the end. And it's never been so clear as it is now, with all the scriptures and what we see laying before us, and just looking, you know, they said, we used to think, how is somebody going to let somebody lay in the street for 3 days? It's happening right now. And we see it around the world instantly. Never could see it before. But now it's right in front of us. Real-time war. Real-time, these are things that, you know, never was able, we weren't even mentally, physically knowledgeable enough to even do what the scripture said we're going to do until now. Cell phones in everybody's pockets. You let a Amber Alert go out. Everybody's phone in here going to go off. You let the weather get bad. Those warnings go out. So it's not a hard-pressed thing to think that the whole world can see the same thing at the same time. Yes. They're going to want to see it. And they're going to be happy that they're dead. There were people who rejoiced after that attack. They were in the streets rejoicing. With all the murder and killing that went on that day, we forgot about that day. That was only, what was that, 800 something, 600? I forget how many they killed. But now that numbers, Palestinians, I think it's up to 11,000 now and counting that they think. But everybody's forgotten about those few numbers. Those, what was it, 120 hostages? Anyway, we don't even talk about that no more. If they let one go, yeah. If they let two go, yeah. If they let four go, yeah. Israel not worrying about those hostages. And I knew they weren't going to worry about them from day one. Because he said if he lets that stand, everybody, all his enemies around him, are going to do the same thing. They'll be coming in every border. So Israel's got to do what Israel's got to do. You say, well, you're hard. No, I'm just telling you, it matches the scripture. It matches the word of God. It's not about my feeling. I don't want the world to be in the condition that it's in. But the word of God says it was going to be here. Come on, musicians. Enjoy that, Brother Jeremiah. The day of redemption. That's page 161. We'll find ourselves singing that a lot. Because it's here now. The day of redemption is here. It's good to be back home. Amen. I miss y'all when I'm not here. You know, when I'm not here, my heart's here. So I watch from a distance and y'all had some good services, I'm glad, because that means you're not stuck on one man. I'm glad to see that. We grew out of that, Don. It's good to have church. It's good to be in this thing together. It's good to see the hour that we're living. It is good to see the hour that we're living. Now, this isn't a scary message. We're just stating facts, just the facts, where everybody's at. You ought to know where every man is. We do. We know where every Jew is, every Gentile, the Christians, the church world, the Pope, Rome, the Russia, the bride. We know all these things. And it doesn't scare us. It gives us more rest and peace knowing that, Lord, I see that. It's not bad if you hear a bump in the night and you don't know what it is. That can be pretty scary. But when you hear a bump in the night and you say, oh, that's the furnace kicking in. That's not a bad thing. And it doesn't scare you. When you see the world and the condition it's in, and the world and the church world, and we didn't even talk tonight about the mark of the beast. Look up. Yes. Your redemption is here. Come back on Sunday. This is our Thanksgiving dinner Sunday. So, the plan is, please come. They're going to cook, and you're supposed to bring something, dish, lit, at least know what you're bringing. If you're not bringing nothing, don't stay away. Just still come. But we're going to just have, I just like to do a family dinner. You know, just we've had a busy year. We had a lot going on, and we were wondering if we were going to even do it. And I thought, no, I want to do this. I want us to do this, just to sit down as a family, have dinner together. And so keep that in mind for this coming Sunday. And we'll have Bible class again on Sunday night. And it won't be long now until Jeremiah and I will be heading towards California. Oh, that's right. We're not doing Bible study. Thank you. Keep me in track because I'm out of dinner. So y'all won't have to come Sunday night. You'll have that night off. Don't throw things at me. Just. But as we're sitting around talking at dinner, we can do that. Somebody say something.
Remind all the sisters that are helping Sister Christy tomorrow. They know who they are.
Okay. Sister Krista, keep her in your prayers. We've got things to do with her. I'm glad you all are kicking in there. And as we need the help, we'll get you help. You know, she's not apparently ready to move big items. So we just, the body's here. As she needs help, we'll give her. And if they say they know some sisters who's helping and they didn't call you, don't get jealous. You might be next. Because then they call you, you get mad because they called. No, I'm sure you wouldn't do that. You all are Christ-like. So. But just be open and willing. Amen. And ready to help where you can. Amen. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentiles' days numbered with horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. For the day of redemption is here. For men's hearts are failing for fear. All be filled with the Spirit. Your lamps trimmed and clear. Your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking, and many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. For the day of redemption is here, and men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with God's Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Bright, look up, your redemption. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying. That Jesus the Christ is our God. Well, this generation spurns God's revelation. We'll walk where the apostles have trod. For the day of
there. Bride, look up. Your redemption is the fig tree. The fig tree is growing. Jerusalem's restoring her national lifelong throne. Today she is calling, her latter rain's falling. Return all dispersed to your home. For the day of redemption is here, and men's hearts are failing for fear. Your redemption is near, for the day of redemption.
Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear.
Look up,
your redemption is here.
You're dismissed.